I'm done for the day. No. I'm not gonna get up. And I need cuddles. I'm just tired. I didn't even do that much today. Are you tired too? Because I could just get an early night. We could totally just go to bed right now. I brush my teeth. Totally. Wanna smell? Hey, it's minty fresh. Just go get PJs and sleep. Wait, no, I don't wanna get in PJs. Can I just... Okay. I know we can't sleep in normal clothes, but... I know I'm being annoying, I'm sorry. Would you undress me? No, not like that. I mean, would you undress me? It's a little other vibe from just... I have zero energy, so you gotta get me out of these clothes. Yeah. And that's fair. For payment. Not enough. What about that? You can get more kisses after we cuddle up in bed. Promise. Yes. I'm ready. Oh. Yeah. Watch out for my hair. You're gonna get it all frizzy. I'm not complaining. Should totally like do this every night. Yeah, I'll be fine just having you do everything, and I can just lay. I know you love me. Don't have to pretend that you don't. No, it's fine. Should I do you? No, you're fine. Okay, well. You should just give me a strip show. Yee. Wait, do we have music? Okay, I don't know if I have like stripper music, but I can just do okay, maybe not. What about more like You're doing great, sweetie. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, hell yee. I'm sorry. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Yeah. No. I look great. Come here. Ow. No, that's nothing. Even when my days are like just kind of shitty, it's just nice being here with you. Yeah, I know we were like reading together, but it's okay, I can't say it's late, but we're like tired. It's like past sleepy time. Do you really want to? Yeah, I know. Get the book. But I'll be reading first, and then you have to do a chapter two, okay? Yeah, because then I can like just get comfy while you read to me without having to worry about having to stay awake for my reading part. You know, I will fall asleep on you. Well, I don't do it every time. You can't. Not. No, not every time. Okay. I'll try to stay awake this time. But you have to shut up because I'm starting to read. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. We're at Orpheus. Yeah. Okay. The power to soothe the savage beast. Yeah, you can be my savage beast now. Okay, I'll stop. Okay. Come here. Orpheus was the Mozart of the ancient world. It was more than that. Orpheus was the Cole Porter, the Shakespeare, the Lennon and McCartney, the Adele, Prince, Luciana Pavarotti, Lady Gaga, and the Kendrick Lamar of the ancient world. The acknowledged sweet singing master of words and music. During his lifetime, his fame spread around the Mediterranean, and beyond. It was said that his pure voice and matchless playing could charm the beasts of the field and the fishes of the sea and the birds of the air and even the insensate rocks and waters. Rivers themselves diverted their courses to hear him. Hermes invented the lyre, Apollo improved upon it, but Orpheus perfected it. 'Tis agreed who his mother was, but there's less certainty about his father. Here we come to a theme that repeats in many variations of this age of heroes, that of double parenthood. Calliope, beautiful voice, the muse of epic poetry, was Orpheus' mother by Immortal, the Thracian king of Uagus. And that's a little stop. Who would certainly have been the father of Heracles' unfortunate music teacher, Orpheus' brother or half-brother, Linus. But Apollo was believed to be Orpheus' father too, and... Yeah, I think I think that's the music teacher that you like killed or something. Yeah. Okay, I'll just believe you on your word. But Apollo was believed to be Orpheus's father too, and Orpheus was quite a favorite of the god. In any case, young Orpheus romped with his mother and ate Muse Anse on Mount Parnassus, and it was there that the doting Apollo presented his son with the golden lyre, which he personally taught him to play. Soon, the prodigy's skill at the instrument exceeded even that of his father, the god of music. Unlike Marsyas, who may have been his stepbrother, Orpheus did not boast about his prowess, or nor did he make the mistake of challenging his divine father to a competition. Instead, he spent his days mastering his craft, charming the birds of the air and beasts of the field, causing the branches of the trees to bend down and listen to his lyre, and fishes to jump and bubble with joy at his soft, seductive strains. His character matched the sweetness of his playing and singing. He played for the love of music, and his songs celebrated the beauty of the world and the glory of love. Orpheus and Eurydice. Yeah. I'm never sure if it's like Eurydice or Eurydice or Eurydice, or I'm just gonna say Eurydice. That's kind of like the annoying thing about this book. Like all the like Greek mythology in general, just all those words that I can't pronounce. Seems like you do like way smoother. Like I feel like when I read it's just like you do weird things because I'm making a mistake, and it's almost more annoying that I do the weird things than the actual mistake. I'll continue. So great was his fame that when Jason gathered a crew for the Argo and his quest for the Golden Fleece, he knew he had to have Orpheus on board. But more of Jason later. For now, all you need to know is that the gods rewarded Orpheus for his bravery and loyalty in this future, in this adventure, with the gift of love in the shape of the beautiful Eurydice. As the might be imagined, the wedding was quite an affair. All the muses attended. Thalia entertained with comedy sketches. Terpsichore? Terpsichore? Let the dances? Okay. Let the dance. Each of the other sisters also delighted the guests with examples of their own particular art, but a strange and uncomfortable incident clouded the happy event in the minds of many who witnessed it. Among the guests was Orpheus's half brother Hymen. I'm sorry. Son of Apollo and the muse Urania. A minor deity of song. He gives the word hymn. See, it's just hymn. Okay, Hymen. So, that's one of the eroti. The young man and the love god Eros is written you with a special responsibility for weddings and the marriage bed. Oh, it's Hymen and Hymina also derived from him. His presence at his half brother's wedding was natural and a great compliment, but for some reason, jealousy perhaps, Hymen failed to bless the union. The torch he bore spluttered and smoked, causing everyone to cough. The atmosphere was so acrid, 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 that even Orpheus was unable to sing with his accustomed sweetness of tone. Hymen soon departed the feast, but the cold unfriendliness of his presence left a taste in the mouth quite as unpleasant as that of the black smoke of from his torch. Orpheus, Eurydice, the dark note quite banished from their minds, set up a happy house together in Pimplea, a small town that nestled in the valley below Olympus, close to the Paeonian spring, sacred to the muses. It was Eurydice's misfortune, though, to catch the eye of Aristaeus, a minor god of beekeeping, agriculture, and other country crafts. Aww. He's probably like an arsehole, but he sounds lovely. One afternoon, on her way home from the market, she took a shortcut through a water meadow. In the distance, she could just hear her beloved Orpheus strumming his lyre as he tried out a new and lovely song. Simply, Aristaeus burst out from behind a poplar tree and bore down upon her. Frightened, she dropped the bread and fruit she was carrying and fled wildly, zigzagging across the fields. Aristaeus pursued her, laughing. "Orpheus, Orpheus!" Eurydice cried. Orpheus put down his lyre. Was that his wife's voice? "Help me, help me!" screamed the voice. Orpheus ran towards the sound. Eurydice wove this way and that, trying to escape the remorseless Aristaeus, whose hot breath she could feel on her neck. In a blind panic, she stumbled and fell into a ditch. Aristaeus closed in, but by now Orpheus had appeared and was running towards them, shouting. Aristaeus knew an angry husband when he saw one and turned away, disappointed. "You see, he was an asshole, but he's the god of beekeeping. That's just adorable." Okay. As Orpheus reached the scene, he heard Eurydice cry out again. The ditch into which he had stumbled was the home of an adder, which struck out angrily, sinking its fangs into her heel. Orpheus reached aside in time to see her sink back in mortal agony. He took her in his arms. He breathed into her, sang softly into her ear, begging her to return to him, but the venom of the viper had done its work. Her soul left her body. The cry that escaped from Orpheus struck horror and fear into the whole valley. The muses heard it. The gods on Olympus heard it. It was the last sound they were to hear from Orpheus for some time. His mourning was as absolute and unwavering as could be. He put his lyre aside. He would never sing again. He would never smile again, compose a lyric again, so much as hum again. What life was left to him would be spent in pain and anguished silence. The town of Pimplea was given over to Lamentation, grieving. Lamentation. I thought it was a god, but it's just a word. Okay. Grieving more over the loss of Orpheus's music than the life of Eurydice, well loved as she had been. The nymphs of the woods, waters, and mountains fell into mourning too. Even the gods of Olympus pined and fretted at the drying up of the music. Apollo went to visit his son. He found him sitting in the porch, gazing out across the very fields where Eurydice had met her and... "Come now," said Apollo. "It's been more than a year. You can't mope like this forever. Watch me." "What would persuade you to pick up your lyre again?" "Only the living presence of my beloved wife." "Well," a thoughtful frown appeared on the golden god's smooth brow. "Eurydice isn't on the world. The gates are guarded by Cerberus, the three-headed hound of hell. No one but Heracles, has ever penetrated the underworld and returned. And even he didn't come back up with that soul. But if anything can do it, if anyone can do it, you can."
"What are you saying?"
"Wanna go and get her?" You just said no one has ever penetrated the underworld and returned. Ah, but no one has ever had the power you have, Orpheus. What power? The power of music. If anyone could tame Zabrus and charm Charon the Ferryman, it's you. If anyone could melt the hearts of Hades and Persephone, it's you. You really think a faith in what music can do? Orpheus went into the house and retrieved his lyre from the dusty cupboard in which he had thrust it. There's just so much, like, semi-erotic wording here. I mean, I don't know if, like, Stephen Fry did that on purpose, but it's just like, oh, no one has ever penetrated that little thrust. Okay, sorry. Yes, I can just blame it on my dirty mind or whatever. Stop it, you're not all that innocent. String it with these, said Apollo, plucking from his head 24 golden hairs. Orpheus restrung the lyre and tuned it. Never had it sound more beautiful. Now go and come back with Eurydice. On entering the palace's great hall, Orpheus found himself facing the three judges of the underworld, Minos, Rhadamanthus, and Iacchus, enthroned in a grim semicircle. The three judges were sons of Zeus, mortal kings famed for the righteousness of their rule, who determined on behalf of Hades the fates of the dead in the underworld. Heracles sensibly avoided them during his visit. The light of your... Sorry. The light... I know it doesn't matter. The light of Orpheus's living spirit dazzled their eyes. Sacrilege, sacrilege. How dare the living invade the realm of the dead? Summon Thanatos, Lord of Death, to suck the insolent soul from his body. Orpheus took up his lyre, and before the last command could be obeyed, the three judges were smiling, nodding their heads and tapping their sandaled toes in time to the intoxicating strains. The retinue of the ghoulish servants, sentries in attendance, had not heard music for so long that they could not remember how to respond to it. Some clutched at the air as if the sounds they heard were butterflies that can be caught in their hands. Some clapped, clumsily at first, but soon in time to the beat of the lyre's chords. An awkward shuffle turned into a rhythmic stamp that became a frenzied dance. Within minutes, the whole chamber was alive and echoing with singing, dancing, and cries of joy and laughter. What was the meaning of this? At the side of Hades, king of the underworld himself, and his pale consort Persephone, the hall fell into an instant and guilty silence. As in a game of musical chairs, they frozen to a halt and with thuds and skids, only Orpheus appeared unmoved. Hades curled a beckoning finger. If you wish to avoid eternal punishment more excruciating than those of Ixion, Sisyphus, and Tantalus combined, you'd better explain yourself, mortal. What possible excuse could you have for this indecent display? Not an excuse, sir, but a reason. The best and only reason. A pert reply. And what is this reason? Love. Hades replied with a barrage of bleak barks that was the closest they came to laughing. My wife Eurydice is here. I must have her back. Must. Persephone stared at him. I'm sorry, I'm starting to get tired. Stared at him in disbelief. You dare use such a word? My father, Apollo. We do not do favors for Olympians, said the Hades. You are mortal, and you have trespassed into the realm of the dead. That's all we need to know. Perhaps my music may change your mind. Music, we are immune to its charms here. I tamed Cerberus. I charmed Helm. I bewitched the judges of the underworld and their retinue. Are you perhaps afraid that my songs might enchant you also? Queen Persephone whispered briefly in her husband's ear. Hades nodded. Fetch her Eurydice, he commanded. One song, he said to Orpheus. You may sing one song. If it fails to delight, the relentless agony of your torture will be the talk and terror of the cosmos till the end of time. If your music moves us, well, we will allow you and your woman to return to the world above. Yeah? Do you want to take over? I feel like my tongue is like... Yeah, I was just, let me get comfy. No, falling asleep. No, it's not boring. Are you sleepy? Go on. I'm totally listening. I think I'm gonna fall asleep. That's the sun. I'm stopping you. Because then I can just stay.